I'd like now to welcome to the program Hank Hughes. He's the executive director of the New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness, and Reverend Ray Masterson of Santa Fe Street Ministries, and Revel Carr. He's a maritime historian and veteran. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
Now, we are talking today, it's a couple of days after Veterans Day, about the specific problems of homelessness that are faced by veterans, and why so many veterans are homeless. What's going on?
Well, I've worked in homelessness for many years, and there's always been a large number of homeless people who are veterans, and it relates in part to what happens to people when they're in the service, in wars, post-traumatic stress disorder, that sort of thing. And when they come home, we just don't have enough supports for them. And so some people end up on the streets, sleeping outside, and that's a real tragedy.
There were so many Vietnam veterans. How does that compare to veterans of other wars?
Well, I think what we're seeing today is a huge increase in veterans who have been stressed, and the post-traumatic stress disorder is the key element here, who have been stressed by multiple tours in Iraq or in Afghanistan, and so layered on top of the trauma of Vietnam. The trauma of Vietnam was a national trauma, and it was a trauma for so many of the soldiers, Marines, sailors, and so on who participated there. But so it's compounded. We have the burden of still dealing with the Vietnam heritage, and on top of that, now it's being compounded by Iraq and Afghanistan multiple tour veterans.
The people who were in Vietnam, were you, Ray, were you one of them?
No comment.
All right. I guess what I'm trying to ask is that people were there, usually young men in their teens and early 20s, and now those folks are pretty much in their 60s. What have these intervening 40 years been like for them? What's the typical kind of patterns that you see?
Well, I mean, for a lot of them, they've been homeless for a long time, a lot of that time. But a lot of people like Ray, who is a Vietnam era veteran, at least that's what he tells me, you know, eventually they get help and they get out and become contributing members of our society. And what we're trying to do is speed up that process so people don't end up spending 15 years living outside while nothing happens in their life and they just get older and weaker.
Are you focusing on the current Iraq and Afghanistan veterans right now?
Well, I think every veteran, and the services we have now, there's not enough for everybody, so it really goes to people who come in for help. And so it tends to be that as people get older, you know, they tend to come in more for help. And so we're still dealing a lot with people who are in the Vietnam era, but actually plenty of people from all the wars of the last 30 years.
I think the other point is one out of five homeless individuals in this country are vets. And so that's a much higher proportion. The vets make up a much higher proportion than the general population, so to speak. But I think that's part of the issue. And the other thing is, in addition to homes, housing, there's an issue of support for services. There are a lot of services out there. The VA has services available. Other agencies have services available. But navigating through the bureaucracies of those services is really daunting. It's daunting to go to the Department of Motor Vehicles. It's daunting to go to...
Although less so than it used to be.
Well, perhaps. But it's daunting to go to healthcare services for any of us. And when a homeless individual who may not have all the paperwork he or she needs, and there are more women now between the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, there are more women who are ending up as homeless vets as well. But as people seek services, it's really hard to navigate the complexities of the system, and that's another thing that our effort here to raise funds can support. And we can support agencies that help give that guidance.
So it's not that you're offering the services yourself necessarily, you're offering the assistance to navigate those crazy bureaucracies.
Well, it's a combination, because clearly the federal government has the main responsibility for taking care of our veterans. And so part of what we want to do is make sure they step up to the plate some people, yeah, as Revel said, they have trouble navigating that system. And so we want to fund agencies that will, you know, work with what the help the federal government's providing and help people get into that and provide whatever extra help they need.
Ray Masterson, Reverend Ray Masterson, tell us about the Santa Fe Street Ministries.
I minister on the street. I do a lot of outreach. I talk to a lot of homeless people besides working the shelter during the winter. A lot of times, a lot of the programs, you got to understand that back in the early 1990s, I was Veterans Affairs Coordinator for the Coalition on Homelessness in San Francisco. And during the first Persian Gulf War, which ended in February, I had the first homeless vet in my office seeking help by April. Mm-hmm. From the first Persian Gulf War. So, I mean, everybody always relates back to Vietnam and the Vietnam era for, you know, the originality of homeless veterans. No, as long as there have been war, there have been homeless veterans. Part of homelessness and veterans is one of the true costs of war that was ignored for many, many, many years. You know, Korea, right on back to the revolution, we have had veterans who became homeless for whatever reason. So, you know, it's really nothing new. It was really over the past 10 years or so that I've seen is a lot of other veterans organizations starting to really look at this problem as linked. You know, because VFW and many other organizations, they do fight for veterans' rights. But homelessness among veterans has always taken kind of a back seat.
Right.
You know, now I see some of them starting to step up and say, hey, wait a minute, those are my brothers and my sisters out there, you know, who are actually continually suffering from whichever war they were in. So some of them have never even come home.
Hmm. Your own story, I mean, you yourself were homeless for a stretch?
For a long time.
Yeah. How did you handle that? What was it like for you?
Well, first and foremost, I was a Marine. So, you know, it was just part of it. I've learned to deal and cope with certain things that helped me. But the main thing was a few people that started believing in me again. You know, instead of just, oh, well, that's Ray, he's lazy, crazy, lives in a box.
Where were you living?
I was actually homeless here in Santa Fe for over 3 years up on the hill.
Is that
in a
right?
Tent. Yeah.
And then what happened next?
I just started networking with people and this and that, and I got my disability straightened out, and you know, and I got a subsidized apartment and moved from there.
So when you work with people basically in the street, what are your interactions like? How can you help them? What do you see?
Actually, a lot of times it's just listening. Because a lot of times a homeless person isn't listened to. You know, a lot of times I'll sign you up for the program as long as you meet certain criteria. I know homeless veterans on the street that don't fit into them criteria because they're not drug addicts, they're not alcoholics, and they're not crazy. Right? And most of the programs are funded around the counseling. Right? So if you're not a drug addict, if you're not an alcoholic, and you ain't crazy, you don't need counseling, do you? So therefore, if all I'm giving you is housing and a place to live and trying to help you find a job, I'm on the very low end of the funding spectrum, right? But then I add counseling. Now, whether the counselor is qualified to do it or not is one thing, you know? I mean, I've known homeless veterans that have gone in for counseling sessions, and they're sitting there talking with the person. All of a sudden, the homeless vet goes, excuse me, have you ever been an alcoholic? No. Have you ever been a drug addict? Well, no. Have you ever been homeless? Well, no. This conversation's over.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think a lot of us recognize that, and I'm of course, one of those people who was never any of those things, but we're trying to really push the housing first idea of helping people who are homeless as Ray was saying, a lot of homeless people object to the kind of programs that insist that they take a certain type of counseling or a certain type of service along with the housing. And so we've really been pushing the idea that housing is a human right and people should get the housing as a first step and then decide on their own what kind of counseling or services they want to participate in, have a choice in the kind of counselor they have, that sort of thing, if it's even necessary. Some people just need housing.
One of the ironies that has developed in this, there was an article in the Times, the New York Times, a few weeks ago, of a young Afghanistan vet who had ended up losing his job, or not getting a job, and not having a home to go to, being homeless. And the irony was that he pointed out his military service didn't prepare him for civilian life. It prepared him for homelessness. It prepared him to live rough. He had lived rough in Afghanistan. And so it was, in a sense, an easy fallback for him, but it's a terrible path because people have to cope with all that you have to cope with when you're living rough, the health, winter, all those issues.
And, of course, the economy right now is pretty bad. I mean, it's bad for a lot of people. It's bad for particularly a lot of young people. There aren't the well-paid entry-level jobs in almost any field anymore.
I think one of the encouraging things in the last few days was Congress finally coming together to pass something, and one of the things they passed was a veterans jobs bill. That was part of President Obama's jobs package, but the one part that has gotten through with bipartisan support has been the veterans job bill, and hopefully, I mean, it's a long way to see the benefits of that, but hopefully that will help in this issue.
We've really seen a spike in the number of young families who are homeless based on the economy. The people who are disabled have, you know, were homeless and have stayed homeless, but the economy has really hurt people entering the job market or trying to enter the job market.
Now, there's a group called Veterans Helping Homeless Veterans.
That's the group that we are working with. Tom Augustin, who is a person in this community who does more good work than most of us and is always looking for ways to help. Tom was the inspiration for this. He was an advisor in Hank's organization, and Tom and Hank came up with the thought that focusing on this veterans issue would be of long-term benefit. And so a group of us have come together to work with Tom and with Hank to make that happen, to raise money in the community that can then be distributed to organizations that we are positive are making a real impact on homeless veterans.
What are in your view, the strongest organizations?
Well, some of the organizations that we're looking at, there's a Veterans Integration Center in Albuquerque that has been struggling for many years. They provide a transitional housing opportunity specifically for veterans. But we're also looking at some of the agencies that provide permanent supportive housing to anybody with disabilities, but who are willing to focus part of their program on veterans. So that would be like LifeLink here in Santa Fe that does a really great job with that. St. Elizabeth Shelter has a little bit of their program that is directed toward permanent supportive housing. And so we want to encourage them to develop those parts of it and to concentrate on veterans.
Seems like if you wanted to really end homelessness, one big, huge step would be to stop fighting wars.
Well, that would certainly help.
That's a great solution, and we wish that might happen. But whether that happens in our lifetime, I rather doubt it. It's been going on forever and ever and ever. And as Ray was saying, this issue has been with us forever and ever and ever. And in World War I, it was called shell shock. They didn't understand post-traumatic stress syndrome. And one of the encouraging things now is that increasingly post-traumatic stress disorder is being recognized and people are getting counseling for it. But it's been around from all the wars, as Ray has said, and unfortunately, it'll probably be around in future wars.
How much can counseling really help? I mean, post-traumatic stress, the people I know who have it, I'm not thinking of veterans. I'm thinking of, for example, women who've been raped and things like that. I know people who, no matter how much counseling they get, all their lives, that kind of skittish jumping when somebody comes into the room and a whole set of fears and a whole set of responses, counseling has barely touched it.
Well, I think that's true for veterans as well, and Ray could obviously speak to this much more directly, but I've known many veterans who, you know, it's something that you're going to live with for a long time. But that doesn't mean that you have to be homeless or that you can't be part of society. I mean, all of us have things that we live with on a daily basis. You know, I mean, I'm allergic to juniper trees, and that's not something that I'm ever going to get over either. And it's not that I would compare that to being anything nearly as bad as having PTSD, but I think that it's, we have to realize that people are who they are, and we need to take them from where they are and help them live as full of a life as they can.
An individual that I was associated with, he was a central character in a book that I wrote, and he had post-traumatic stress syndrome from World War II, and it wasn't recognized, it was under-recognized, and he led a tortured life and ultimately committed suicide. And that's the problem when you don't address it. Whether therapy or counseling of some kind can solve the problem is doubtful. Whether it can help people cope with their problem and live a balanced and productive life is something else. And in the case of the person I'm talking about in the book, he was not given those tools.
You know, What's your perspective on that?
Well, they say that Audie Murphy killed himself drunk driving. I believe it was PTSD that killed Audie Murphy. But we'll go to that. Necessarily, war does not cause post-traumatic stress disorder. Anything can cause it. A spanking from childhood, it depends. You learn to deal. You learn to cope. You learn to what pushes your buttons, what pulls your triggers. You learn to deal with that. There is no cure for PTSD.
Right.
You know, one of the best things is talking with somebody else with the same experiences and sharing your coping mechanisms with each other. You know, I can learn something from them. Maybe they can learn something from me. And in the course of it, we can help each other.
I take it you've had that experience.
I've been living with it for years.
Yeah, but I mean the experience of helping each other and sharing your coping mechanisms?
More than any paid professional.
Interesting. Now, are there veterans groups that get together in that way here in Santa Fe and talk about stuff?
Well, I know there's a Vietnam veterans group that gets together periodically, I think once a month, for lunch. And that could be viewed as a group therapy session, in a sense. People have come together, and of course, even groups like Veterans of Foreign Wars and so on are part of that, where people come and they are able to talk about their experiences. But what you see very often is people who are really dealing with it don't like to talk about. They really need, as Ray is alluding to, a sense of confidence in the person to whom they are speaking. They generally don't want to talk about their experiences.
So how can people get involved? People are listening to this. They might be interested in doing their share, contributing to the campaign, or contributing their time?
Well, we have a website for the Coalition to End Homelessness, and that's a way to get in touch with us. We're accepting donations to this campaign, so people can either send us a check or go on our website and donate online. We asked if you want your donation to go to the Veterans campaign, that you note that on the check or in the little box online that allows you to do that.
What is the website?
The website is www.nmceh.org, or you can just Google the New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness.
And is there a phone number people can call?
Uh-huh, 982-9000 in Santa Fe.
Area code 505. Anything else that you want to let our listeners know before we go?
Well, I think the staggering number of veterans who are make up that portion of the homeless population is a bit of awareness. That I mean, there are over 130,000 homeless veterans around the country on any given night, and there are something like 5,000 homeless veterans here in New Mexico and somewhere between 350 and 400 here in Santa Fe. So it is a huge issue, and I think we owe these people who have served their country well, I think we owe these people the best support we can provide.
Hank Hughes is executive director of the New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness. Reverend Ray Masterson is with Santa Fe Street Ministries, and Revel Carr is a maritime historian and himself a veteran. And if you still have last Friday's paper, you can check out. There was in the New Mexican, right?
On the front page in the New Mexican.
Right. All right. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thanks, Maria Charlotte.
Okay. Thank you.